When was that?
Pancho Villa. In other words, how long did you stay with
him? Oh, about 2.5 years.
Did you actually ride? I mean, were you part of his...
Well, I wasn't... I didn't have no combat of the troops. I was a telegraph operator and whenever they need me, outside and from the towns, I had a man there to my assistant, which was a man that put up the poles.
The poles, linemen.
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 Yeah.
Stringing
string the
wires?
Yeah. We had just like that thing there. Whenever you go, string the...
Telegraph
over there, yeah.
Did you send messages for Pancho Villa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Well, I'm not the only one because we had about 14 or 15 operators.
Going along with Pancho Villa?
Yeah, because it was about 25,000 men on that División del Norte.
How did they move, on horseback?
By train. Yeah.
Train and horseback.
Horseback.
Did you know Pancho Villa personally?
Yes.
How would you describe him?
Well, a kind of heavy set man, about 5'10" or 5'11".
5'10" or
11. Yeah, he weighed about 200 pounds.
Was he easy to be with, talk
easy
to?
Easy to be with, yes.
You know, people think of Pancho Villa as a really tough, brutal guy.
Well, and not quite that way. See. What made Francisco Villa famous, because the United States gave him arms, ammunition, horses, and clothes for the army.
Really? U.S. supplied his army?
Well, the United States supplied all those, but in return, Pancho Villa sent him a lot of cattle, cotton, and
you weren't with him, Luis, when he died, when he was slain. That was well.
No.
You had already left for Texas.
Yeah, or no.
No?
When I came to Texas in 1924, he was killed in 1923 or 22. I don't remember.
You came in
24.
24.
Yes.
Why did you leave Mexico in 24?
I left Mexico because my father told me to come to Laredo when my sister lived. She lost her husband. And my father sent me to get charge of the family.
Oh. Come take to Laredo and help your sister.
Yeah, take care of the family.
Did you get a job on a railroad then in
Yes. I got a job for the Tex-Mex in February 1924. Not as telegraph operator, but they gave me a job in Realitos, Texas as a warehouseman. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I worked in Realitos part of 1924. And then 1925, I stayed in Realitos. In 1926, I went back to Laredo. I had a disagreement with the agent in Realitos, and he fired me. I went to Laredo, back to Laredo. Then in February the 19, 1926, Tex-Mex Army telegraph operator in Nellis. I've been there since.
Good, yeah. Okay, and you got your citizenship, Luis, in 1940, right?
In 1940, in Corpus Christi.
And I think you've told me that right after you got your citizenship is when you started in political activity in Alice.
Right.
With George Palmer.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. When I came to Alice, you see, I was working on the second trick as telegraph operator in Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And in those times, I had a controversy or I had a disagreement with the chair of Jim Wells. His name's Charlie W. Price.
Charlie Price.
Yeah. That?
Yeah.
Okay. One night, I was in a restaurant. Not a restaurant. Really was a whorehouse.
Whorehouse?
Yeah. They had three or four girls in there. They sell home brew and tequila and whiskey, whatever you want. It was during the Prohibition.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And this sheriff used to visit this whorehouse pretty near every day. And one night, we had a disagreement on account of a woman. I'm not going to tell the name of the woman because the family still lives in Alice and I don't want to, you know, to
embarrass
or something like that.
Right.
Anyhow, this chair cussed me out. He told me, so-and-so, Mexican son of a bitch, whatever he wants to name it, he came from that guy there. Yeah, everything. Well, after that night, he tried to kill me. But I was with a friend of mine, Fred Spears. When he went for his gun, Fred Spears got him at the wrist and told him, that boy got no arm. He don't have any. I didn't have any gun or something like that.
No weapon. Huh?
No weapon.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, this sheriff told me, you have 24 hours to leave this county, or else. Naturally, I went to talk to my boss, Trainmaster Tom Leindecker in Laredo, and told him what the sheriff told me. Tom Leindecker says, you stay there. I don't have any men to relieve you right now. Let me see what I can do for you. Tom Leindecker was a son-in-law of Antonio Bruni. By that time, Antonio Bruni was a big political chief in Laredo.
Yeah.
Antonio Bruni talked to the county judge, who was R.R. Mullen, to interview me and see what, patch up the difference between the sheriff and myself.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in 1926. In the meantime, I keep on working in Alice. And the sheriff, he never did bother anymore.
He left you alone?
Yes, but I told him, Charlie, you got the upper hand now, but wait. I will have my revenge sooner or later.
So how long did it take, until 1940?
It was from, let me see. I have my citizenship in 1940. By that time, in 1940, it was just like a revolution to overthrow Charlie Price. We had we formed a new party. That's the name of, we call that political
party.
The new party.
Were you with Parr then, Luis?
I was with Parr.
In 1940, yeah.
In 1940.
Did he ask you to join him, or?
No.
How did it actually?
My wife, relatives, they had a family named Perez in Alice. And Frank Perez Jr., he told me, Primo, you know, he called me Primo because him and my wife, the first, I mean, second cousins.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, Primo, I want you to join the new party. And I told him, I can't do it because I'm not a citizen. Well, think about it. And if you want to join me, just let me know. Well, I thought, he says, here, I thought to myself, I went to make my application for citizenship, which I got in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
The day I had my certificate, I told Frank, now I'm ready to help you, nothing. Okay. That night he took me to George B. Parr office in San Diego. It was a bunch of guys over there. You see, by that time, George B. Parr was well known, not only in Jim West County, in a lot of counties like Webb, Stark County, Brooks, Jim Hogg,
yeah.
Nueces, San Patricio. When we went to the office, George B. Parr told me, in Spanish, can I say that in Spanish or just in English? Not in English, huh?
I guess in English.
Yeah.
But he spoke to you in Spanish.
Oh, yeah, he used to speak Spanish fluently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without any accent whatsoever. He just was like a Mexican. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could I interrupt? Could we close these curtains? Would that be all right?
So yeah.
So you had that bright light falling
sure.
in behind your head?
What did he tell you, Luis, if you can say it in English? Or maybe you should say it in Spanish and then translate.
No, that's all right. I try my best to say it. He told me, I understand that you had a trouble with the sheriff in Jim Wells. And you know now that we're gonna throw that party out, the old party, and get our new men in Jim Wells County.
Mm.
And are you willing to help me? I guarantee that you get rid of that sheriff. If you're right, I go along. That was 1940. We had a candidate for city, a candidate for the county. We won the city. We put Mr. E.G. Lloyd in office as mayor. But we lost the county. We had a Hoover McGuffin running for sheriff against Charlie Price. And we lost that in 1940.
Won it again, huh?
He won it again, that election.
But he didn't win the next one.
He didn't win the that was. By that time, I had a friend there, Willie Mancha and Willie Chapa. Mancha used to work for the oil companies in Sacamistle, Veracruz. And I was working there too. So when I came to Alice, I saw Willie Mancha. It was a surprise to me to see him, because I met Willie Mancha in Veracruz. It was my surprise to see him in Alice. He was born and raised in Alice. Well, anyhow, we lost the sheriff race in 1940. 1942, we had a man running for sheriff, Hubert T. Saint, which is dead now.
Yeah.
And we won the sheriff race. That was in 1942. Mm-hmm. That's when we won that. And Charlie Price died 3 days after that election.
He died? Natural cause?
Natural. He had a heart attack. He couldn't take it.
Well, after that, Luis, then...
After that, by that time, I had a lot of power in Alice. I was named policeman, deputy sheriff, and I was a kind of troubleshooter for the people in Jim Wells. Yeah.
That's where it all started.
You know? That's when it all started, yes.
You were a policeman at one time?
Yeah, I was policeman one time and then deputy sheriff.
Okay.
What else?
Well, now, Joe, you want to ask some of these?
Yeah.
Luis,
now, you and I have talked about this many times, so it's old information, but he needs some of it fresh to be said again, you know, for the recording he needs to make. Like, he has written some questions here, like, what sort of things did you do for George Parker during that period? Can you just give an example?
When you were really powerful and when George Parr had strong control?
Well, I handled all the let me see how I put it this way. Every financial money to buy poll taxes, to run the election, and when it comes, like in 1942, I had control of all, not less than 80% of the votes in Alice. Not only in Alice, in the whole county, which gave me power to do anything I please. For instance, I used to go to the tax collector office during the The when we buy the poll taxes, and I tell Jack Gladney, he used to be the tax collector, so he gave me 3 books of poll taxes. And Jarvey Parr, he pays for you when he comes from San Diego. I have this poll taxes. I gave him books to some of my assistants, all the leaders of the new party, to go to every house and give me poll tax. At that time, the poll tax used to be $1.75 for each poll tax. But Jarvey told me, buy whatever poll tax you think is necessary to run this election. We bought about not less than 8,000 votes, poll taxes. And Jarvey Parr come to Alice and give Jack Gladney the money for the poll taxes, for the 3 books I got.
So you sort of dispensed the things that George Parr wanted to give to the people in the county, or you were sort of his representative with the people, I guess.
Yes, that's what I was. And during the election times, for instance, you had to have automobiles, you had to have clerks to run the election, and we pay to the owners of the car to carry the votes to the how you call the vote?
The polling place?
The polling place. A lot of times, not everybody was in our side, naturally. But we had enough power to see that we got the election every time. The only office we never did have control, it was the county clerk. The county clerk was C.H. Holmgren. But it was not necessary to throw him out because he was by himself, and all the county officials and everybody was in our party, the new party. So we don't count him much.
What about the police chiefs, Luis? Didn't you change those whenever you really wanted to?
Yes. You see, in every election, you had more of the people that, low class of people, you know, that follow whoever's buying some beer or make favors. And I used to send, for instance, lots of men come over to me for help. They had a family sick, they gave medicines, and all that money, the cost of the medicines, Jarvey Parr used to pay him. Let's see what else happened.
Well, you closed, remember that Orange Grove businessman, you closed him down, the saloon?
Oh, yes, that was, we had a saloon owner in Orange Grove that he was not on a party, Steve Canales. And I went over there and I told Steve, either you join our party or we're going to close your place. You can do that. Of course we can. We had the liquor control on our side, and everything was in our side. And that night I told George B. Parr about Steve Canales. He says, we want to close that place. All right. He sent the liquor control over there, and he closed the place. But three days later, Steve come to my house and says, Salas, let me join your party. I want my business back. Sure, go ahead. Go and open your place.
did you carry a gun?
Yes, always. It had my gun. Yeah, because I had a lot of friends, but I had a lot of enemies too. Not everything was on our side. The reason George B. Parr came to be so powerful in Jim Wells, and not only in Jim Wells, in the Duval, Brooks, Stark County, Webb, Jim Hogg, Barrio San Patricio. He had control of the boats in the really, Parr was a good man, but he was power crazy. That's what make I never seen anything like it.
He did things for people, but he loved to control their votes.
Yes, oh yes, he controlled everything. And that was for 1940 to 1948. Every 2 years, it comes election, we had candidates against our party, but it didn't bother us because in every election day, I just told the other judges, you give our candidates of our parties 80% or 90% of the votes. And we did it. Of course, I know all the election expenses, they didn't come out of George B. Parr's pocket. From state down to local candidates, they all put out money for the election expenses. And that's why we never run short of money.
So the candidates would give George Parr money?
And from governor down. Of course, we had to, you know, in each election you had you go and how you, when in each election we had this I remember now that the reason we control all those votes because we had the power and intimidate the people that it was not voting in our favor.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. How did Lyndon Johnson get connected with George Parr?
Well, really, I don't know how he can connect with Lyndon Johnson. But I know Parr asked Cook Stevenson, who was governor at that time, to give some kind of office to Abraham Cassin in Laredo. And he won't do it. That's what George B. Parr went against Cook and Stevenson.
That was the district attorney, right? What county?
Yes. But I don't know what kind of...
Kazin, wasn't it?
Kazin, yeah. Well, it's in 1940 to 1948, which is 42, 44, 46, and 48. We control all the elections, the school, city, and county. Except in 1948.